This is the B-side of the lecture, Jeremiah and Prophecy, Part 2. We see that Jeremiah is very interested in alphabetic matters. The Hebrew letters had 22 in number that made up the prophecies, both in Hebrew and Aramaic, that Jeremiah was using. In Psalm 119, he characterizes the whole prophecy by putting it in the form of an acrostic. All the eighth verses at beginning begin with Aleph, and then all through Bet, and then down to Tau, all of them. He is very prone to use this type of a secretive way of writing to show completeness and fullness and all of that. Now, when you look at his prophecies overall, we find that numbers are very significant. For example, his 40 years of prophecy are very interesting because 40 is a number of trial. Remember, there were 40 years in the wilderness for ancient Israel, 40 days that Elijah was in Mount Sinai. The number 40, I could give a whole lecture just on that. But Jeremiah himself had 40 years until the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple. That was significant. But in his history, that was associated with his time, we find some very significant events dealing with certain numbers that are important, 22 in particular. If you'll go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we actually have the history of Jeremiah beginning here, because it dovetails remarkably with the history of King Josiah. King Josiah began to be king at a very young age over Jerusalem and Judah. He was 8 years of age when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. Now, that was a pretty long reign, but at the same time, when he was 8 years of age, 31 years is rather short, because you would think that a person would live longer than 39 years of age. Josiah died when he was 39 years of age. Now, Jeremiah was slightly younger than Josiah by about 4 years. When Josiah commenced his reign here at 8 years of age, Jeremiah was only 4 years of age. He had not been called to the ministry at this time, prophetic ministry. However, we read that he was actually called before his birth, but he did not know of his call until he was about 17 years of age, and when Josiah would have been around 22. Now, that's when the call of Jeremiah took place. But now in verse 8 here, we find that showing a history of the first years of Josiah, how he was righteous, though he was a young king, it says he, in his eighth year he was yet young, he began to seek after God. He began to cleanse the land of idols and things of that nature. A very unusual thing for a young king to be able to do that. Of course, he had Hilkiah the priest, who was Jeremiah's father, to help him and all of that. But at the same time, Josiah showed extraordinary powers of righteousness for a young person. Now in verse 8, now in the 18th year of his reign, that is of Josiah, Jeremiah in this case would be 22 now, which is rather interesting. And Josiah would be 26 years of age. They were searching in the house of the Lord, that is in the temple, they were repairing it under the command of Josiah. And as it goes on to say here, they found in the house of the Lord a manuscript that they had not known was there. And they looked at it and found that it was the law of God. Some scholars feel that it was only the book of Deuteronomy that they found. But when it says the law of God, it could mean all five of the books of the law, that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy that we know of today. Whatever the contents were, we know that the nation, the leaders, were very horrified when they read it, because they had not been used to what this law had said before. It had been buried in the temple, believe it or not. And here, in the 18th year of Josiah, they found this discovery. Now, this was when Jeremiah was 22 years of age, remember. And all of them got together, including Hilkiah and the rest of them, and Shaphan the scribe, and they began to read in the book what it said. And when Josiah saw this as a young man of 26 years of age, he was horrified. He was saying that we're not even doing half of the things that the law says we should do. Now, he then said we need to have a revolution in this country, and we need to get back to the God of gods, our God, like the law that we have found in the temple was telling us. And so he wanted to do that. Now, in verse 22 of this chapter 34, it says, "And Hilkiah, that is the priest, they went to the king, and finally they appointed Huldah the prophetess, a woman, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikva, the son of Hesra, keeper of the wardrobe, that is, of the temple. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, next to the temple, and they spake to her to that effect that, what does this mean? It's interesting that they went to a woman for this. Rather remarkable. The prophetess Huldah. Now this prophetess Huldah gives a prophecy here. I'm going to give it in a moment. She became so famous that she was buried next to, when she died, King David himself. And then when David's tomb was even moved from the southeast area of Jerusalem up to the southwest corner, Huldah's tomb was moved along with him. And in the time of Jesus, they only allowed two tombs to exist in the city of Jerusalem. One was David, and next to it, Huldah, this prophetess that we find here. And in fact, her prophecy was so famous, and the Jews wanted everyone to remember it, that the southern gates of the temple that led into the temple were called the Gates of Huldah, named after this woman prophetess. Many of you probably have never even heard of this woman prophet here. Well, you have when you read it, but you would not realize the significance of it. Here is what her prophecy was all about. She answered them after they had found this law in the temple. And then Josiah, along with Jeremiah and Hilkiah, his father, wanted to remedy the whole situation. They wanted to get back to proclaiming God's law that they had found in the temple. So she answered them and said, "The Lord God of Israel, tell you the man that sent you unto me, thus saith the Lord." Then she says, all the curses that are mentioned in this law, that if you don't do them, all the curses are going to come to pass. That's what she emphasized. She emphasized the curses. Now Josiah wanted to change things, but she emphasized the curses. Now remember, this is Jeremiah's 22nd year of life. He was called to be able to tear down and also to build and to plant. So the curses were going to take place. But then she said this concerning Josiah, because even in his young age he began to put down idolatry. And when this law of God was found, Josiah, even in his 26th year, says, we need to change our ways and to get right with God. Here's what Huldah said to him under inspiration of God. He says, because your heart, Josiah, was tender, and you did humble yourself before God, when you heard the words against this place, that is Jerusalem and the temple, and against the inhabitants thereof, and you humbled yourself before me, and you did rend your clothes and weep before me, I have heard you also, saith Yahweh the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers. You're going to die, all right. And you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Neither shall your eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again, and they told the king this. So he was very pleased. Now that's the end of the prophecy there. As long as you're king, Josiah, there's going to be peace in the land. When you die, however, and gather to your fathers, that is when all the curses that you read in the law are going to come on this land, which meant utter destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple and the scattering of the people into a diaspora, into other areas of the world. It's going to happen at your death. Now, this was told to him when he was 26 years of age. He did not believe for a moment that it would only be a short time until this whole prophecy would come to pass. But in actual fact, he died when he was 39 years of age, a very short life. And why? Because in the last moment, Josiah actually disobeyed God in the last moment. Now, it was a minor kind of a disobedience, not against the law, but against the promise that God had given, and I will show that what that is in just a moment. Josiah and the rest of them were so pleased, however, that peace was going to exist in the land until his death, that they began the Reformation. They started to cleanse the temple again, and they did it. They had a Passover, which is mentioned here in chapter 35, like a Passover that had never been in the land since the time of Moses. It was a wonderful thing. And it continued right on through, and the rest of Josiah's life until his 39th year was in peace and in security. And Jeremiah said it would be. But then something happened in verse 20. Here's what happened in his 39th year of life. We find that Josiah, when he had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up, that is, out of Egypt, to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates in the north, and he had to come through Palestine. He had to come through the land that was controlled by Josiah. And Josiah went out against him. Now, he had been told not to monkey in world affairs, but Josiah went out against Pharaoh Necho. And you know where he met him with his troops? He wanted him not to go up and fight against the Babylonians. He wanted to bring peace in the land. But the thing is, he went down there when he was told, if you'll read the context here, he should not go. He went, and he went to the Valley of Megiddo, which in the New Testament is Armageddon. And you know, a battle took place there. And Josiah was shot by an arrow. He was in his chariot. They took him back to Jerusalem, and by the time he got back to Jerusalem, he died. Now, when he died at 39 years of age, Huldah's prophecies, you see, about the destruction that was to come on Judea now could take place. He did this, Josiah did, in disobedience to God on that one particular point. But God honored Josiah for other reasons, simply because he was a righteous king. But once he was dead, here's what Jeremiah said. Here is what Jeremiah said when he was 39 years of age. It says in verse 25, and Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day. Now this goes down to Ezra's time, who actually canonized the Old Testament. When that says singing men and singing women, that means in a mournful dirge. They began to lament. Jeremiah composed a song at this time, and it's 22 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. See the number 22 coming out again? 22 letters to the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters that make up these prophecies, and so forth, and how Jeremiah was prone to use the 22, and all of that. 22 years, 11 years for each king, Jehoiakim, and also Zedekiah, and then it was all over. We find that Jeremiah did something. He wrote this song out. He composed a song, put notation to it, and it said, he made them, this song, an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Now, if you'll go to the book of Jeremiah and look at, in our King James Version, a book of five chapters attached to the book of Jeremiah, and it was written by Jeremiah, it's called Lamentations. That is when the book of Lamentations was written. 22 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. It was written as a prophecy by Jeremiah to show what now was definitely going to occur because Josiah was now dead and the promise of peace, security, and all of that was to end. Now, in the next 22 years, it was going to be preparation for the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem and the disbursement of the people of Judah out of the land of Judah. It was going to inevitably now take place. And he composed these five chapters. Now, I want you to notice the book of Lamentations. If you'll turn over there and look at it, you'll find that the first chapter has 22 verses. Yes, you guessed it. It's in an acrostic. The first verse is Aleph. The second verse is Bet. The second verse, third verse is Dalet. The Gimel. The third, fourth verse is Dalet. All the way down to Sheen and then Tal, the last. You'll find that every single one of those sentences in proper sequence begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet in perfect order until it's down to the bottom. He uses all 22 letters to give an emphasis of perfection. This will happen in proper order, in perfect harmony, and in fullness. You see the point? Now look at the second chapter of the book of Lamentations written by Jeremiah. It also has 22 verses to it. And it's exactly the same thing there. Starts with A, ends with Z, as we and I would say it. Now you go to the third chapter of the book of Lamentations. Look at it this time. No, it doesn't say 22. It says 66. But you know, the same acrostic design is there because the first three verses are all A. The next three verses are all B, Bet. The next three verses are all Gimel, you see, G. And then the last three verses are all tall, like our Z. And now, there is no acrostical form in chapter 4 and 5, but they each have 22 verses to them, even there. Even showing that though the acrostic is not there, the design is there. And it's in five chapters. Five chapters of acrostical design, because they had just found some years before the five sections of the law, and here's the five sections of complete destruction coming. And you ought to read the very first verse of Lamentations. It says, how does the city, that is Jerusalem, sit solitary, that was full of people, how she has become a widow, she that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how she has become tributary. And it goes on to show just great destruction in the land. The book of Lamentations, then, was written 22 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, but it explains it here as if it were happening right then. And you know, the destruction of the temple took place on the 9th of Ab, the 9th day of the 5th month, 600 years, almost 600 years before the birth of Christ. It's rather interesting that in the time of 70 AD, Jesus, remember, said the temple was going to be destroyed and the city of Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. Do you know in 70 AD, the very day of the year it was destroyed? Remember, it says here in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 25 that Jeremiah ordained that this be sung as an ordinance, and Ezra, who put together the Old Testament 100 years later or so, said it's being done to this day. It was being done in the time of the apostles, that the very day the temple went up in smoke in 70 AD was exactly the same day that it went up in smoke on the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, to the very day on the 9th and 10th of Ab. And the Jews at that time were fasting throughout the whole land. And even in 70 AD, when they were over in Spain or in Italy or up wherever they were, scattered around the world in their synagogues, they were reading the book of Lamentations at the very time the temple was being destroyed by Titus, king of the Romans, finally, in 70 AD, on the very anniversary day that it was destroyed in the time of Jeremiah. These points are very important. And to this very day, the Jews are fasting on the 9th and the 10th of Ab. That's a very important period of time, and we're going to have a future, or see a future relevance of this. And that book of Lamentations is in an acrostical design. It was written by Jeremiah. There's another section written by Jeremiah. Go with me to Psalm 89. Psalm 89 is most important. That psalm is written by Jeremiah too. It's the last psalm of the third division of the book of Psalms. The third division starts out with destruction. The Psalm 73, 74 about destruction, 75 about destruction, 76 about destruction, carrying on 77, 78, 79, 80, going right on through until it comes to 88 and then 89. 89, however, it starts out with something beautiful, as though the kingdom of David would last forever and of Solomon. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of it, it just turns into a destruction theme. And that destruction theme was put in there by Jeremiah. This book here, Psalm 89, is the last book of the third division of the Psalms, which deals with destruction, like the book of Lamentations talks about. Jeremiah knew what he was doing. And the putting together of all of this into the Bible is there for a proper reason. You need to read my book, Restoring the Original Bible, to get these books back in the proper order, and then they will begin to make prophetic sense to you. In Psalm 89, if you will read the first section down to verse 37, it's nothing but glory and beauty and majesty. How that God promised that the kingdom of David would continue to live for all time, that a king would come up and which would have dominion over the whole world, and that Solomon and his kingdom would be like that kingdom. And as long as the moon stayed in effect, as long as you could see the sun, as long as you could witness the stars in the sky, this kingdom would continue to exist. That's what it says in here. And it says, my covenant will I always keep. I will never break it. I will always keep it. Now that's what it says up to verse 37. And it ends with the word Selah, which means a termination to that section. Now in verse 38, though, from verse 38 down to the end of the psalm, And the end of the third division of the Psalms, it's nothing but destruction, utter destruction. Jeremiah then put on this attachment to make sure that people would understand what the truth really was. They were saying the kingdom of God or the kingdom of David will never be put down because of those verses. Jeremiah says, yes, but the law says, if you disobey, I will bring utter destruction upon you. Look at Psalm 89 and verse 38. But, that's what it starts out with. Though it says beauty up above, but something else is coming along. You have, Jeremiah says, cast off and abhorred us, that is Judah. You have been wroth with thine anointed, the anointed priest or king. In this case, it's the king Josiah. He wrote this at the time of Josiah's death. You have cut off the anointed. The anointed is the anointed king. You have made void your covenant, the covenant of David, by cutting him off in midlife, that is Josiah. You have profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. He took it off of Josiah, threw it down. That started the whole process. You have broken down all his hedges around him. You have brought his strongholds to ruin, protecting him. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to the neighbors. You have set on his right hand adversaries. Enemies rejoice. You have also turned him to the edge of his sword. You have not made him to stand in battle. He was up there at Armageddon. He shouldn't have been fighting up there. But he did not stand in battle. This is a psalm here about the destruction or the death of Josiah, which means we've got 22 more years, Jeremiah was saying, before all Hades is going to break out on this country, upon this temple, and on this city. You have made his glory to cease. That means his throne. You've cast his throne down to the ground. It's gone. The days of his youth have you shortened. He died when he was a mere 39 years of age. You have covered him with shame, and he died in ignominy, as a matter of fact. Selah, he says, means pause and think on this. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself? Forever? Shall your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is, Jeremiah says. He wrote this psalm. Wherefore have you made all men in vain? What man is he that lives and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are your former loving kindnesses? He makes a plea. Where, which you swear unto David in his truth. Remember, Lord, remember them. The reproach of your servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people that are against us. Wherefore thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherefore with they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed, that is, King Josiah. And then it ends with, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. That ends right there, the destruction psalms. You know what the fourth division is here? It starts with Psalm 90 and goes all the way to Psalm 106. It's about the kingdom of God being established upon the earth sometime in the future, and the Davidic throne coming back and being established once more. But before it is established, there's going to be 2.5+ years, millennia, to be the Babylonian phase of government, which would go through gold, silver, brass, iron mixed with miry clay, before these promises to David would come back. And once they come back, they're going to come back in glory and majesty, but not until the stone is cut out without hands and rolls down the mountainside and hits this Babylonian image on its feet, on its toes, will this take place. Jeremiah here in Psalm 89, along with Psalm 119, along with Lamentations in the five chapters there, fit in with his prophecies in which he was to prophesy about what was to happen not only in those 22 years from the time that Lamentation was written until the fall of Jerusalem and the temple, But what would last on out for 2.5 millennium, and at the end of that time, when Shishak, that is Babylon, would finally be destroyed. And when Babylon is destroyed, look at what is going to occur around the earth. Now, all of you listening to me, I want you to take cognizance of this in the last moments that we have, because this is the prophecy for our day. It's a time when Shishak shall drink after them, some 2.5 millenniums later, because it says that at that time that Shishak, that is Babylon, also will drink of the cup of Jeremiah that he had. Drink you, be drunken, and spew, and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. That is Babylon. And you know something? All of you listening to me, that Babylon has not been destroyed yet. We're still in it to this very day. It's right on the horizon. And when it comes, it says there's going to come a noise, verse 31, from the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh that is on earth. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. And verse 33, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. That's the book of Revelation coming to pass. And then it says, they shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried shall they be put in the ground. And it goes on to say, though, that after that will come the peace that can be introduced by the son of David, the new Solomon, at the second advent of Christ. All of it is put together. In the next sections we'll discuss, we'll put this all together in a way where we'll understand that we're living in the time of Jeremiah. And he is living and talking in modern times. From now on, we're going to be seeing it wasn't the 40 years back there or his 22 years. It's the 40 years now and the 22 years that we have to think about. When we put it together, you're going to see Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel speaking about our time today. Keep your eyes open. Prophecy is about to break open. This concludes the B-side of the lecture, Jeremiah and Prophecy, Part 2.